Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Taryn McKay, Richard Neville, Andrew Burton, Colleen J, Ali Greenspan, Elizabeth Parker, Jonathan Pook, Demons Wolf. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Grizz Optric Act Amsterdam.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Taham.
Sasha Rackett, who's asking?
And Azu.
And Bryn, what is Ben playing?
Grizz Op.
Close enough. We'll build up to it slowly.
Drick Act Amsterdam.
Oh! Boom!
He spelled it out in one episode, and now I know how it works.
Yes, I have the same reaction.
You're such a programmer.
You can see the matrix. The matrix is made of letters.
So we're coming in high energy here for a really low start. Really low start. So... We have had...
Speak for yourselves, I left the last one laughing hysterically.
We have had Hamid's sister's
too
funeral.
Too high-pitched! The laugh is too high-pitched!
We have had mysterious cloaked figures tied to Sasha's past in some
Who
way turning up.
Murdered.
They got absolutely
totally
murdered.
Yeah.
And then you're going to complain why I destroy you all later and be like, well, you dealt with the first one so quickly. Anyway. Also, we have Hamid having... intense family moments because his brother did thing and it's all awful. God. And Azu's basically all right as far as I'm aware.
Oh, yeah. There is nothing wrong with Azu.
As is Grizzop, as far
I'm
as
sure
I'm aware.
Her backstory is really cool.
No
family trauma.
No heartbreaking.
No, it's all fine. It's really lovely to have somebody in who is just as.
Sunshine
great.
And light.
Sunshine and love and
Speaking
happiness.
Speaking of sunshine, right, love, happiness and light, I am going to start with Grizzop and Azu.
Okay, I think...
Ooh. Sasha! Sasha!
Sasha! Sasha?
Give me a... I love yours is less like, where are you, than your name is Sasha, right? Like, I've only known you like 2 days. It is Sasha, right? It's not like Sacha and I've misheard or something. Can I get a perception check from everyone pon camel?
Oh, no.
I will roll for camel.
Got a 9.
So I got 11.
You got 11?
Does Topaz know what she's going to
do? Topaz T. Camel has not spotted Sasha either, as far as you are aware.
Damn.
Topaz T. Camel. Keep forgetting about that.
So with that in mind, you find yourself riding along eventually you find yourself, you're heading towards basically the main strip as far as I was aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you find yourself starting to ride down the main strip. It is full of lots of grumpy looking people tidying up yet more sand.
Have any of you seen Sasha?
Everyone's just looking at you a little Sasha. Bit nonplussed.
Has anybody seen a sad human?
Yeah.
Sad humans, anybody?
Oh, I dressed in black. Mm. No.
Sneaky looking.
Lots of knives. Basically invisible.
Have any of you seen someone who you can't see? Yeah. Could you give me a perception check, Sasha? Pon the building with your gargoyle chums.
Gargoyle chums.
Gargoyle sphinx chums, I recall. Well,
sphinx chums, to be specific, yes.
She rolled a 19, and that adds a 12.
And,
do you have any idea how many 31. Penalties they'd make if they were doing a stealth check running down the middle of the... Yeah, you could. You
Sasha!
Can see Grisop upon Azu, upon Sasha? A camel, riding down the middle of the strip, making a scene. Meanwhile, like in the time it took them to get there, a small crowd of people have started gathering around trying to figure out what the heck is happening as people fall into the fountain and like someone got up and was like, what's happening? And then their briefcase popped open. It's just there's slowly a crowd of people trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Because we were throwing stuff.
Tiny little chips of stone, just enough to mess with people.
Thanks, lads. That's what I needed. Scratches the sphinx gargoyle on the head.
In the kindest, you can tell it's trying to be kind. It kind of looks at you, kind of raises a stony eyebrow, gestures to the fact that it's made of stone.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah. No. Cheers. You. Know any places to go, I suppose, around here?
Yeah, I'd check out the Pharaoh. Apparently he does really, really good whiskey. Really good.
Ah, okay. Right. I guess I'll do that. You're just going to wander down and around?
Basically off the very high rooftop with no checks because it's basically pointless.
Yeah, it's too much attention really around there now, I guess. Goes to drink a whiskey.
Hamid, I believe where we left off, you were in the middle of your grounds with a father who was striding off being profoundly unhelpful and I'll be blunt, quite unlikable at the moment, despite current tragedy.
Yeah, something about I'll have to sort this out like I always do.
Basically, yeah. And then he's been striding down towards the sort of central drive that you came up originally.
This is not how to fix anything. Talk to us.
He continues to ignore you, makes it to the main gate. Your brother sort of run out of steam maybe halfway there because... He doesn't have either the capabilities or the soberness to deal with this right now.
I cast magic missile. I'm not targeting my father, but it targets perfectly. I'm basically going to make the missiles impact just in front of his feet.
All right. You just fired a warning shot at your dad.
Yeah.
He stops. From the distance you're at, you see the distinct sign of shoulders going up with a sigh and going down with a sigh. He leans across and talks to one of the guards and then proceeds to have them open the gate and walks out.
Salah, just go back to your room. I'm going to follow Dad and find out what he's doing.
He just turns around and starts stumbling back towards the house. You heading down, you see your father... basically heads round the side of the guardhouse too. There's always a carriage kept prepped, you know, just in case someone needs to head out or something.
I will run to catch up with him. I'm not letting him get away from me.
He heads into the carriage, closes the door. However...
I'm going to jump on the back.
Could you give me an acrobatics check to jump upon the carriage? It's not particularly high, just don't fluff.
How I wish I was Sasha.
Really?
24.
Ooh. Really? You're going to wish to be Sasha? Like, yeah, you...
I rolled a 19.
The carriage sets...
Sasha rolls a 19, she gets like 50.
Carriage sets off, you hop up on the back plates, basically, holding on using... You know how you have the footman have the sort of holders? There are no footmen currently. You jump on where the footman would be, and you are now in the carriage. Your father's in the carriage and hasn't noticed you.
Rubbing off on you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just gonna watch.
So you're not gonna try and get in. You're just gonna follow him and see where he goes. Okay, that's fine.
If he wants to play it like this, we'll play it like this.
Now, Dad, spy. Yeah.
Sasha, you have made it down off the rooftops. Mm-hmm. What's your current plan?
I'm gonna go to the bar.
Okay.
I'm gonna find out who runs this town.
So I'm gonna stick with Sasha for now.
Yeah.
You head to the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Two things.
Does it look divey enough for her?
Two things become immediately apparent.
Right.
One, the place is a dive.
Yes.
The second thing that becomes apparent, really popular, but not in a way that's problematic. It's a sprawling old building. It is one of the only old buildings left anywhere near the strip. Most of them are sort of retrofitted or like, you know, really tasteless new modern constructions. This one is a sprawling old, it looks like an inn. Who knows how it's managed to stay where it is? It's made mostly of stone.
This is where all the people that work at all the other places drink.
Bingo! I won't get you to roll the knowledge local to know that. Long story short, it's sprawling. It has grown as there are less and less places for people that aren't mega rich, wealthy, and or, like, posh, let's be honest, to go to.
Nice.
And it had a sign over the door. It's so faded as to be basically unintelligible. But heading inside...
She can't read Arabic anyway.
Exactly. But there's not even image to recognise from it. The reason that you know it's there is like a couple of people were talking, blah, blah, blah. Like people were literally talking about heading to the fair and you're like, okay, they probably know where it is. Job done.
I suppose it's a tourist area, isn't it? So enough of them will be speaking either French, probably not even English, but French, because the French are a lot wealthier in this world.
Yes.
So there might be people around there, she understands.
Yeah, the place is extremely eclectic in its clientele. There are a few well-dressed people who, even to your practiced eye, are just... They're roughing it. They're slumming it.
Right.
They're not being particularly well-received. But heading in, it is the first sort of familiar setting you've probably been in. In a very
are the rooms all
long
very
time.
Small and
all
close
of the rooms are small. It's
dark.
Got loads of nooks and crannies.
Cool
it has
safe.
Loads of low ceilings.
Yay.
It has beams. It's not even appropriate architecture for this part of the world. Someone set it up clearly a long time ago, playing to a taste, and it's just.
All the bards and all the worlds.
Yeah. You have finally managed to find a place that doesn't feel wrong.
Okay.
Can you give me another perception check, please?
That is 27.
27.
Mm-hmm.
You managed to... So there's the main bar and you...
she accidentally rolled a d50.
So, having a wander around, you find that actually there's multiple bars in there because it's become that sprawling and all over the place. And you find yourself a nice, quiet nook with its own dedicated bar that people just haven't migrated to. Maybe the ceiling's a little bit too low there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's got slightly less windows than it should. Either way, it consists of a barman, you, and an extremely drunk patron leaning over the bar beside you, potentially unconscious.
I'll have a... excuse me. Do you have... I heard the whiskey was good here, mate.
The drunk patron actually just goes, you don't want the whiskey? Rubbish.
I mean, it seems to have worked on you, mate.
No. Gin.
Gin.
Trust me, it's all about the gin. Everyone comes for the whiskey, they stay for the gin.
Well, all right. But
he reaches into his pocket and just pushes across a coin. She'll have the biggest gin you've got. With the gin.
Cheers, mate. I mean, I can pay my puts the coin back in his pocket and pays.
Oh my
himself.
God!
Sasha didn't just steal something. Something is wrong.
Why would she steal a coin from? There's no pride in stealing from an unconscious
so,
person.
So jumping back to Azu and Grizzop.
Sasha! Sasha!
You become distinctly aware of a large commotion outside one of the casinos.
Ooh!
This is does Sasha cause commotions?
Let's go that away!
It's like pointing from atop Azu's shoulders.
Hi ho, Topaz!
I will skip RPing a crowd because that's never fun. It just doesn't work. Thank you so much.
Stone's in my head. I'm all wet now.
It seems to be that someone was causing trouble, but no one saw what was causing the trouble. It Grizz, up to you, it smells a little bit like someone's been sneaky, like from your experience with Sasha up to this point. Azu, I don't think you've been around enough to jump to that conclusion quite so quickly.
But it is suspicious.
It is suspicious.
Okay.
We have a trail.
Shall right.
I don't know. Mm.
You know Sasha better than I. What would she do if she was upset?
I don't know. Sneak off, probably.
Well, she did that.
Yeah.
But then what?
Sneak off some more? I haven't really seen her super upset. Well, not in a sort of this kind of way, so I don't know. Do what most people do? Go get drunk?
Ah! Yes.
But... I can see about 12 bars from here.
We shall explore all of them.
I am gonna jump to Hamid. Hamid, you're on the carriage. The driver hasn't noticed you either. You definitely picked stuff up from Sasha. You've definitely been improved. Look at you. You're an adventurer. You left a boy. You came back an adventurer. The carriage heads down, and then again, you're extremely familiar with this place. This is where you grew up. It is heading towards what looks to be, to your eye, the central repository for the Meritocrats. Specifically, it's the huge building that holds all of those magical artifacts that are deemed too powerful. And again, it's basically the most expensive client that the entire Tahan family has is official Meritocrat storage and so on. He's heading there. Also, as a reminder for you out of character, it is the place where the rather unfortunate incident involving your brother took place.
Ooh.
Is it also where the lockbox is?
You don't know. But you know it had a Cairo code. You'd have to, check a couple of records while you're here. But he's heading straight to the main entrance to that.
I'm going to wait till he gets out of the carriage and then just follow him.
Pulls
no
up out
what
front.
He, does yet.
He steps out, sees you. Hamid, you're embarrassing yourself. And heads through and steps through into the main entrance of the building itself.
I'm going to follow him.
Yep. For everyone who is not Hamid, just so we can build the mental pictures here, this is a... completely retrofitted, and forgive me, but I'm in Egypt, I gotta do it. It's a completely retrofitted pyramid.
Ta-da!
The original stonework is still there. However, it has been supplemented with glass, with steel. It is... if any of you know your, Egyptology, from, certain earlier periods, a lot of the pyramids would have been coated in stuff other than stone. Mm-hmm. Specifically, either bright white limestone, or some of them had electrum capstones, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because they shone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, whoever has the architect who was given the job of sort of retrofitting this place leaned into that. Have they
basically clad it in the Louvre lobby?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, they have. So the original pyramid is still there, basically in pristine condition, but around it and over it and mimicking its shape, just expanded, is this huge metal glass lattice work and so on. But that does mean that this building is phenomenally huge because you're taking a great pyramid and then adding another great pyramid over the top of it. Also, it appears that when you're sort of looking around, again, this is for everyone's benefit, apart from Hamid, you've been in this building before, that there are hidden between the original building and the glasswork, there are some extra offices and so on, but higher up and so on. The equivalent of corner offices, things like that. So from a distance, it's just a big glass pyramid. Closer to it, has this kind of jewel structure going on. Heading inside, again, just for mental picture's sake, that retaining of the old only kind of had a superficial aesthetic vibe. They have mostly gutted the place at the level that you enter. There's a foyer. Pyramids shouldn't have foyers. That's not right. But yeah, there's a foyer that your father heads into. And immediately heads to the far side and begins a quiet conversation with someone behind a desk.
As soon as he noticed me, I started walking by his side or immediately behind him.
He proceeds to ignore you.
Yeah, I'm going to just go along with that. Like, if he can't deal with his family, that's his problem, not mine.
Then...
Everything is built halfling-sized, right?
No. Mm. No. So this foyer is the sort of dual structure. You saw it in the Mr. Ceiling, the L'Arc de Triomphe a while ago, if you remember, where it basically like it has...
A low desk for the halflings, medium desk for the humans, and then a tall desk for the orcs and elves.
So not quite, but, like, broadly speaking, there are two size categories, small and medium, and humans and elves and orcs all fall into the same category. There's not quite enough variation between them to mean you have to... And then you get halflings and gnomes... And goblins are in the small size category, so you do need such stuff to actually be different sized for them.
Are dwarves?
Dwarves are medium.
Dwarves only because they're wide.
Yeah.
Again, the size category, just diving into mechanics, it's more kind of based on mass than on height.
Interesting.
Dwarves are more like
they're dense.
Rectangles.
Dwarves are as much as a human, but stretched differently. So, yeah, heading in, your father, you over here, effectively, he's... saying that he will speak to the manager of the Institute as soon as possible, and then he heads to a private room that is basically up the equivalent of some back stairs. You haven't been to this bit before, but it's nothing you haven't seen before in so many other Tahan branches, albeit this one has a lot more security roaming. Your father goes to the door, opens it, turns round if you are attempting to follow him. You go this far, you don't go any further.
Would you like me to explain the problem with the family, Father?
No. He closes the door. I'm going to jump back to Sasha. After about 15 minutes, if you're going to be hanging around there...
Yep.
The patron next to you comes to and starts to actually, like, blearily, like, look at you. They're not diving into conversation straight away, but they do sort of begin the trope of monologuing a little bit.
Grand.
They're basically talking to the bar person who just occasionally looks at you going... But they're professional enough not to stop him. Mm. And he's just there. I was important, you know? Like, it was all set. It was gonna be so good. And then it didn't, you know? Like, I mean, the sandstorms are the worst of it, but, like, I mean... Like, what about the cars? And what about, like, I was waiting on my translation, so what happens now? Nothing. I'm just... wasting.
You're what? You're translating?
Eh? That's the one.
You're a translator?
No. What? No. Who? Hello. What? No. The French lot, they do the translations, and I use that, and then that's how we make, you know, just... teamwork.
the
another
gin.
The
what?
Another gin.
Yeah, all right. I'll get this one, mate.
All right, yeah.
Gets him a gin.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are messed up, I guess. Now,
it's just, you know, like things being messed up's all right, you know. Like, that's not anyone... Like, accidents happen.
Well...
It's just a bit rubbish that it came out badly, you know?
Yeah, mate. I do know.
It's like, what happens now? Happens now? I want to go back to the magic. That was the, like, the old style. No one wants that. Rubbish. I spent years... I studied coding...
Ugh, why would you do that?
I know! it was up and like coding and like, I was gonna be the first like archaeologist to use modern methods, you know? It was it's just all rubbish.
It's a great plot hook, mate.
Which historical figure is this? Place bets now.
Well, we all know that Napoleon's on the cards for one of you, so you can just take dibs on that first.
I presume it might be Livingstone. No.
That was funny. No. You deserve better than I gave. Like, that wasn't you. That wasn't you doing
that.
What's
his name that dug up Tutankhamun?
Oh.
Excuse me.
Mr. Cursed.
Mr. Cursed.
The guy that actually broke through was fine, right? Was
so whilst we dive in and unpick the elaborate tapestry that is my game, we will come back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Azu Grizzop. The Gestalt entity.
Wait, is that
Azop.
Azop. Grizzu.
Which, okay, and this needs to be canon. Is it Grizzu or is it Azop? Place votes now.
No, Azop. I think it should be up to the audience.
Ooh. Oh.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, place votes. Let us know. And then we'll go
up,
with...
If they're going to make up a ship
we'll
name,
find
it
out.
Should be up to them.
We'll find out in 3 or 4 months. Yay!
So, Azu Grizzu.
Okay, that's the worst one. Just
I know, I'm
going
to have to go with the worst. It'll encourage people to pick a better one. So, Azu Grizzu, could you both give me knowledge local? So what this is representing is sort of asking around, that kind of thing, rather than just pointing and looking.
Oh, actually, no, I can't make that check, because it's trained only, so can't
oh.
Sure dice.
Nine? Oh, wait.
That's Lydia's character.
I'm really good at knives and hiding. How did I notice this?
Well, I also don't have it, but I did roll a 20.
So what that means is there's a maximum amount that you can get if you're untrained.
But a crit success.
But a crit success I'm sort of factoring in. So, I'm going to jump time ahead a chunk for you two. Mm-hmm. Things getting mushy because I've got the party split 3 ways. I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, and frankly, if you're relying on Sasha having a conversation to advance plot, that's
yep.
Oh, well, we could do a quick montage, which is,
Sasha, are you in here?
No. All right, next one.
Hey, Sasha, you in here?
Yeah. No. Okay.
Combined
hey, Sasha,
with...
are you in
Combined with the Cairo strip problem of lots of free samples of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of very, very pushy waiters and waitresses.
Okay,
like,
I will say, no. First 2 times, I'm like,
well, if that's who's doing it, fine.
I mean, plus on the third one, they were like, I mean, you would offend us if you didn't, sir.
Oh, really?
You'd enter the premier establishment of the strip and not even partake. I mean, we have a reputation to uphold,
sir. Sorry,
I mean, you're a representative of Artemis.
Come on,
surely, sir.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course. I wouldn't want to.
Cheers.
Vodka, you say?
Could you both give me fortitude saves?
Oh, wait, I'm a paladin. We're both paladins. We have amazing fortitude saves.
Yes. That's a 19.
Ooh, yeah, you're all right.
Plus 9.
Wow.
And I got an 8 plus 9, so
oh, okay.
17.
You're both fine, worth pointing out, Azu, you're more fine. You're pretty certain that, I mean, like, you have to pretend like it's alcohol for all the other sentient races.
Oh, what was your thing that you conjured up
for? I had orcish moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
From the mountains of Kenya.
Yeah. So Kenyan moonshine is like orders of magnitude more, and you were, yes. Yeah, so this is basically you going, oh yes, look at us having a drink. Like, you're basically humouring the other races a little bit.
It's
here.
Like me and wine or something.
Yeah, like nothing. There is nothing, not a blip.
Whereas I'm like loose.
Yeah, Grissom, you've got a happy buzz going, but eventually.
Grissom's already such a cheery guy, it's kind of hard to tell. He's like, yeah.
Go a bit more hyper. Who'd have thought? Oh, now I've made myself do that.
You have eventually managed to basically conclude that Sasha has not been in any of the large premier establishments, and you've also come to conclude there's not many other places around.
Okay. In which case, like, when we're sort of towards the last ones, we're like,
hey, we're looking for a friend, so we've kind of looked at all the bars here. Is there anywhere else, like, sort of off the beaten track, somewhere where, like, tourists don't go, you know? It's kind of, you know...
Somewhere where a sad person would go.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump from that question, which might have been the right question. Hamid, what are you doing? Your father basically just closed the door and is in what is effectively a sealed box for the discussion of confidential matters.
Oh, I am angry. I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay. So, you detect quite a variety kicking around.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat, one of the, like, there are two major things that actually give me a knowledge arcana.
26.
So, a lot of this you're already familiar with. Again, like, some of them are standard protocol and some of them are special that you already knew about here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to dive into specific schools, if only because there's that many, it'll take me a while to cross-reference. The place is warded against things like teleporting in.
Yeah.
It's warded against things
okay,
like
let's
divination.
Let's cut to the chase. If I cast Fireball on the door, how badly is it likely to go?
From your experience...
It's protected with a bouncy spell.
I mean, also, remember, like, we're basically in an office building, right?
So... You're in the office part. You're not in vaults or anything.
The incantation goes, you could... I am rubber. Bounces off of me.
It's the arcade version of boing fwip.
So, yes, you could blow the side of this room off. However, you are also in a meritocratic-controlled building insofar as it's, like, Tahan have provided personnel, expertise, and location, but you're literally have done the equivalent of walked into a government building going, yeah, I reckon I can blow this up. Like, so if you're asking, will you immediately die? No. Ask me if it's a good idea.
No.
No, there we go then.
No, that was me saying no, I won't ask you.
I know.
So
is
what's
it
the
a
plan,
character
Hamid?
Appropriate idea? It's a different question.
Then again, I mean, you are Hamid Al-Tahan. Clues in the name. Maybe you could get away with more. Maybe that's the solution. Let your emotions get the better of you and trust to your family name to get you out of the problem.
That's... What I really want to do is just kick the door down, but unfortunately I'm not Bertie.
You could try.
For which, in every other situation, I've been immensely glad.
So what's the plan, Hamid? You're currently stood outside a closed door.
Then you could just kick it pointlessly.
No, see, the thing is I'm not being impetuous child.
Make the call.
That's the whole point.
Make the call. You're running out of time. The manager's on his way.
Mm. If they're standing there confused, it's possibly a...
I cast invisibility.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. You successfully cast invisibility.
Going to wait for someone else to come along and step through the door with them.
Okay. Eventually, the manager does arrive. You see him arrive outside this room, which has no windows. It's a room for confidential discussion. It takes a moment. You hear the distinct signs of... God, I hate him. He slicks back his hair, straightens himself up, puts on this big, bright, but professional smile, opens the door, steps in. Hello, sir. Yes, I'm so glad that you're here. What can I do for you?
I'd like to slip into the room unnoticed.
Give me a stealth check with hideous, enormous bonuses.
So I rolled 18.
Yeah, you're fine.
And invisibility is plus 20 when moving.
You slip really? Into, mm-hmm. You slip into the room, and then the door closes behind you.
I mean, that sounds like job one for security.
Your father is brooding. Like, you might have grown up a lot, but no one can brood like your father. He is sort of turns back from the door to Sir Straken, the manager, who's basically, they're not faffing, but making a big show and song and dance of paying attention. I'm so glad that you're here, sir. Right, well, if there's anything that we can do specifically to cover... Your father. I'm aware that there was a murder on the premises. I'll get straight to the point. I need it to disappear. I'm going to jump to Sasha.
I should probably do a fortitude check.
Give us a fortitude save.
Literally all she's done is drink, but mm-hmm. slowly, but drink.
Mm-hmm.
And listen. 14.
14?
Yeah.
You don't hear any trouble elsewhere. It might be because nobody knows how cursed I am. Nobody knows my curses. Nobody. The barman's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The bar is currently unattended.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bottle that has already been sold to Nobody Knows How Cursed I Am. Mm-hmm. And the bottle is between the two of you, and he's been very open about he doesn't care
mm-hmm.
what happens with it. Mm-hmm. And he's just singing away. Azu and Grizzop. By hook or by crook, you find yourself outside the Pharaoh.
Okay.
There weren't many other options. You're both basically okay. Grizzop's got his buzz going, but that's about it. Out. It's either this or travelling further and further outside of the strip looking at posh ones. This is basically the only option
that
isn't posh.
This seems fine. This was the thing that, the bartender said, so we should probably have a look in here. It's probably, probably really good.
I shall
go
first.
Okay, off you go. How do I get down?
You're still upon a camel. And he's still upon you.
It's quite a long way.
Then I tell Topaz to go away and suddenly drop.
Okay, still alive, right? Good. Yeah.
I gently pick you up and place you on your feet.
Right, thank you. Great. All right, let's go.
Okay. So Az is gonna walk in.
There's a whistle, which I'll do away from the mic. And then it's you hear the distinct sound of people muttering paladins, etc.
Yeah, I was about to say, can I cast like detect something to see if
detect
there's anyone?
it's an obscure spell. It's an
detect
obscure
naughtiness.
Yes, like some kind of. I mean, I've got detect evil.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to know if there's going to be a brawl.
Okay, because people only fight when they're evil. Mm. Detect evil. You don't need to do a roll. You just
do it.
Whoa.
It's instead of a move action, you just go, and now I know who's evil here.
Who is evil in here?
About 30% of the clientele.
Oh, that's so much.
There doesn't seem to be like, occasionally there'll be a grump that... A grump? That says a lot. A grump is what we call a group of five or more evil people. So there's like...
Is that like a grump of minions?
Yeah. It's a grump of spuds.
So... Like, evil is... Like, that is a thing that a person is rather than a species they are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not like certain, a lich is...
So, certain species can almost certainly be evil because it means that they have such a, like, massive slant towards it.
Goblins, for one.
I'm leaning quite strong away from that because it leads to quite boring campaigns.
It's also complete garbage.
Yeah.
Sort it out.
Yeah, orcs aren't very... good.
No.
Like if we use the original.
On the other hand, a lich almost certainly is because of the process they've had to go through to become a lich.
They're a spooky undead wizard who pulled their heart out and put it in a box.
Like, requires acts of evil.
Right.
Yeah. So long story.
I mean, they're Voldemort, basically. Voldemort's basically a lich.
Hey, look, some of us accidentally
accidentally got undead.
So you spot a couple of grumps over there, a couple of grumps over there. Each some of them have private rooms.
Wait,
some
sorry,
of them don't.
Yes. Callum, a grump is now just a name for anyone who's evil.
Are you a grump?
No, it's a collective.
A grump is a collection.
Oh, right,
it's
so
a collective
like little
noun.
Gaggles of evil.
Yeah, it's a grump of minions. One minion, a grump of minions. Okay. So there's a couple of grumps in there. There are a couple of, like, actually evil people dotted amongst.
A lot of them being like, this new quiche, it's very trendy.
But the mutters continue. Like, at one point, someone playfully chucks a bottle that breaks, not at you, just sort of in the right direction, that kind of thing. Let's put it this way. They're not drawing weapons, but you're not welcome here.
Sketching okay. weapons.
Yeah.
Then Azu just rests her hand on one of her throwing axes.
Grizzop is going to run around to the different grumps and be like,
look, don't worry about it. We're not here for you. You're all good. We're not trying to, like, police anything.
Give me a diplomacy check. I'm curious how this goes down.
You're quite good at diplomacy.
What a statement.
I think... I am quite good at diplomacy, but the dice is a one. I still got eight.
Look on my works, you might
You know what? It genuinely, like, if Sasha didn't want you to find her, you wouldn't have found her even if you were in the same room. But if you get in trouble...
Speaking Perfect. Of which, give me a perception check, Sasha. Meanwhile, that is...
16 plus 12 is 28.
You hear the distinct sounds of a conversation between two bar people going, what are we going to do, Ron? I'm going to have to get them out. You hear the distinct sound of a grump down a side somewhere discussing how they're going to get the drop on these paladins who'd dare show their face here. You're at the corners of the bar that are distinctly more hostile, and a pair of paladins have apparently walked into this place and are going to get the hiding of their lives.
We shall see.
Sasha moves into the shadows.
Oh, God.
Draw the spring-loaded wrist sheaths and winds them up with a... Like,
of course.
With a ice dagger in one and fire in the other.
Usually we'd be doing stuff, but, you know, look, it's fine. Look, I'll be hunting you down. I'll usually be a bounty on you, but actually, no, right now, you're all good. Don't worry about it.
Sasha climbs into the... You said there were beams...
Yes, there are.
Ooh. Beams, like beams.
Bear in mind that the ceiling you're having to stoop to get in, so not beams that you're going to be climbing on, unless you want to be hanging at eye level. I mean, you could. I won't stop
you.
Okay,
fine. She stays in the floor level shadows.
I mean, it's dingy. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Grizzop, I think you should come back.
No, I'm just trying to chill everyone out. You look
you
for
find
Sasha.
You find Grizzop in the middle of the room is now surrounded by... The grumps seem to have sort of... coordinated themselves unofficially. Like, there's no plan necessarily. It's just he seems to be mostly surrounded by grumps now, and everyone who isn't a grump appears to have moved away. And now you're finding yourself in a big empty space of pub that seems to have been cleared from everything apart from, like, breakable tables and bottles and other accoutrements.
I'm going to... So am I outside the circle around?
No.
Oh, I'm also in the circle.
You're in the circle, but Grizzop's the centre of the circle.
Okay.
Look, so basically, look, if you, you're just trying to understand the situation, we're looking for our friend, and we're not going to do any righteous
work. Sasha!
No righteous work!
Okay. Grizzop's just...
I'm not even going to righteously, like, punch you in the face. It's all good, you know, even though you are horrible.
At which point...
I'm making friends, Azu. I'm making friends.
No, I know how to make friends. This is not how you do it.
At which point, three people attack simultaneously. Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to get everyone to roll initiative, but you're going to be taking a penalty, Grizzop.
They get a surprise round.
Yes, that's basically what I'm talking about.
I got 22, so, you know, come at me.
Yep.
I got 11, assuming I don't add anything to it.
You do.
Oh.
No, you don't.
I got 10.
You have to deduct something.
I'm glad we had this talk.
I got 7.
So, three tables are thrown at you.
Okay, good. Right, here we go.
All of them are at Grizzop.
God's sake.
Who blames them, really?
Hit a 21. Go on, hit a 21.
None of the tables hit a 21.
Limbo! Boom! Wait, is this some kind of global custom?
Next,
are we playing a game?
Next, we're into initiative order. Grizzop.
Yep.
You are surrounded by enemies, all of whom are drawing weapons.
Am I now kind of like, have I clocked it?
Yes.
Okay.
Ah,
Make him roll perception first. Yeah, he acts first, but he doesn't realise he has to fight.
I can't keep him in initiative order and also unaware there's a fight.
I got 16.
Yeah, you're aware. You're aware that you're surrounded by people who want you dead.
All right, well, I wasn't going to do righteous murder, but you forced my hands now.
So I'm going to pull my bow out, knock it, and point it at the head of the biggest person that I can find. It's not Azzy, of course. And say,
right, all right, you all stand down, or I'm going to do some righteous murder, and it's going straight in your eye.
The one that you aim at immediately charges you.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I ready an action to shoot him in the face, but I think he's triggered it, right?
Oh, here's a question.
Do you have
for
enough
Bryn.
Actions to do that?
Is it possible to draw a weapon?
Bow.
No, that's a swift action, I thought.
Drawing a bow is not a swift action.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Fine.
I'm afraid you won't be able to ready an action.
Okay, fine.
The person that you have drawn your bow and are basically preparing to ready, yes, I know, Pathfinder, basically charges at you and manages to hit you with a chair.
Okay.
Dealing a truly formidable 4 damage.
Oh, also, yeah. We're all healed, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
Many, many.
4 damage from a chair.
Okay, so I'll take the chair on the head and then do a backwards roll and try and ready the bow again.
Yep. Azu, you're up.
Oh, yeah, so I'm going to run towards Grizzop because I've just made this friend. I'm not losing him to the chair. So I'm the other friend is still missing. I'm not having this. Anyway, so I sort of put the table as, like, some kind of cover.
You know what? I will allow you to place a table between Grizzop and his first assailant. You've now provided Grizzop total cover from half of the room.
Okay, then I turn to face the other half and...
Are you? That's so clever.
I just love the complete antithesis of Bertie's relationship with Bertie. Yeah.
And... Allies to me!
Bertie would, like, badly cut a table in half.
He smashed furniture quite a lot. Yeah. We even considered him taking a feat where favoured enemy was table.
So what else do you do, Helen?
And then I draw the ominous great axe.
Oh!
Yes. And then I go, we do not wish to fight. We simply wish to find our friend Sasha.
I'll go!
No!
2 thugs immediately attack Azu for speaking.
How dare you?
Oh.
They both attack. One of them attacks with some kind of, like, hammer that they had upon hand, and another one attacks with basically a bottle. Both of them just clang, break the bottle on your armor, and immediately regret their decisions.
Okay.
I'm going to jump to Hamid. Tonal whiplash! So, your father sits there, and the manager, who, as much as he was officious, didn't get where he is by not being able to read the room. Right, okay. I presume you're talking about... he gets that far before your father just gives a nod. It's going to be difficult. You are on meritocratic. Again, your father just giving a dead stare. Right, so, well, I didn't want to say it this way. There was an attempted break-in. They were caught in the act. And unfortunately, yes, one of the security staff was killed, but admittedly the party did manage to escape. However, we have been doing an internal investigation and believe that your father basically finishes the sentence for him. It was Salah. What happens now? Well, sir, we're in a bit of a predicament. How? We can't really make this disappear. Your father stands. I'll do anything. He deserves better. Manager's kind of a bit thrown by this. There's not really a lot we can do, sir. As a courtesy, we've held off enhancing and making an arrest until after the funeral, sir. But this is going to happen one way or another. It's not really a thing that we can do. Your father sort of turns away. Turns back. I'm willing to change my will so that this entire complex enters full meritocratic control. The manager starts piping up. We can't make this disappear if you blame me instead of my son.
And I'm going to end the episode there.
Nice one, Dad.
Good work.
People are complicated. People are complicated.
So complicated.
Happy, 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 happy.
But we respect his pride.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM 91. Alex Newell.
Really,
I know.
91.
And with me today,
doesn't
I have.
I feel a day over 60.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Is that your old person? What is happening?
I'm Ben Meredith. I'm really old.
What is happening?
I want to do the same old person voice that you just
what
done.
What is this?
So I have to do a different
what
one.
What did I do to deserve this?
Sadness, that's what you did.
Should we try doing that again?
Yeah, all right.
This what is so, happening? I've never heard any more bloopers in my life.
Let's try this again. Let's get this train going in the right direction. See, spoilers. Alex, I say spoilers. Metagame. Alex has been playing loads of 5th Ed and has forgotten his skills. Alex needs to double check something quickly.
I don't think you mean metagame. I think you mean better game.
Oh!
Just call me Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.